years, 6 months and 1 day ago. I got down to the beach and stand looking at the dark hunch of the HMS Captivity out on the horizon. It is very windy, so I don't feel a fool saying what I've come to say. I know the wind will snatch my words as soon as they are out of my mouth. "Goodbye, Dad," I shout into the southerly. "I'm off to London." Then, in case by some freakish chance the wind carries my words to him, I add, "It's your Mary Jane." I can't see him, of course, but I know he's there, six deep in some ratty bunk on board the prison ship. I wait for a reply, and the wind buffets me back. But there are no words carried upon it, and no echoes of Dad's Norfolk accent. When he gets back in 10 years, I'll be 22. I'll be a woman. And I'll be a Londoner. I'll talk differently to him. I could have stayed here in Holkham after Dad got sent to the Hulks, if only Mum hadn't got herself hanged by mistake. And now I'm off to my aunt's in Battersea. I miss the Norfolk Stars, but I suppose they have the same ones there. What I miss most is the water. At least Dad's got water, and plenty of it. I hope they have water in London. The hansom cab bowled into Trafalgar Square, scattering pigeons as it went. Annie looked without interest at the newly built square with its column and fountains. There were to be 4 lions about the column and a statue atop, but there was no statue yet, and only 1 lion, crouching below the column in solitary splendour. In front of the vast portico gallery, a number of carriages queued, and the way was lit by great torches, the tall column throwing crazy shadows like the gnomon of a sundial.
"Is this what you wanted to show me?"
she said to her rescuer dully. "Wait," he said. "Just wait." As Annie idly watched smartly dressed couples descending from the carriages, the gentlemen in tails, the ladies in flashing satins, and wondered where she was bound, the hansom stopped in the queue, and her companion spoke to the driver.
"You may go in front. They know me here."
Annie was curious.
"Where is here?"
"The Royal Academy."
Annie did not know what the Royal Academy was. As far as she took notice of such things, the new domed building in Trafalgar Square was an art gallery. The Royal Academy. Perhaps this place had something to do with the Queen. For one mad moment, she pictured herself, just as she was, in her rags, bobbing a curtsy to Victoria herself. She lurched back in her seat as the hansom pulled in front of the other cabs, and she was handed out at the bottom of the broad, marble steps. People turned to stare, and she shuffled behind her companion as he tipped the driver. But they were not looking at her. They were looking at him. They nodded and smiled, they whispered behind their hands, and one small knot of people gave him a little burst of applause. He nodded and smiled in acknowledgement, and crooked his arm for Annie.
"Come."
"But..."
It was enough to look down at her ragged dress, an old brown fustian, stained with God knew what. And the rest, no bonnet, her hair half unbound, dirty nails, and tear tracks down her grubby face.
"Ah,"
he said, and tactfully unhooked his opera cape and swung it about her shoulders, covering the offensive gown.
"There."
He gave his ready smile.
"Now you are the Queen of Sheba."
Annie took his arm up the steps. Inside, there were marble halls warm with crowds and candlelight, loud with echoing laughter and the tinkle of crystal. Servers with silver trays handed round little ranks of sherry glasses. Annie took one, drained it, set it back and took another, not caring for propriety. It wasn't gin, but it would do. Her companion took a glass and sipped it, regarding her watchfully. She smiled tightly. She needed the liquor, for the eyes were looking again, this time at her, peering down their noses at the tattered clothes beneath the cape. The grubby face, the raggedy hair. But now the alcohol warmed her empty belly, the belly with the baby in it. And she stared back.